Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1, we'll read verses 8 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Acts, chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. Acts, chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Lord, thank you that the very words that you gave Moses on Sinai we have in our hands today. Thank you that you're the same God. Lord, the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament priests preach from the same book that our preacher will preach from tonight. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, our minds, and our lives, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Recently, I suffered my 50th birthday. Tonight is my birthday sermon to me. An old wise man in his 70s told me that as I grew older, I would have to keep an eye on myself. He said finishing right is far harder than starting right. He said the older you get, Jeff, the more apt you are to change and move away from the hard-hitting, straight-shooting, old-time religion of your youth. He said the older you get, the harder it is to remain a warrior willing to go onto the front lines of the battle for Jesus Christ. I don't like being shot at, but I plan to stay in the war. Tonight's sermon is found in Acts chapter 1. Brother Williamson, I'm going to move to this microphone. Acts chapter 1, verse number 11, where it says, Which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 here, we see Jesus had been crucified. He had come back from the grave, and he spent some time with his disciples while in his resurrected body. Bible says in verse number 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen to them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, he had died, he had been buried, he resurrected, he now spends some time with his disciples after his resurrection. He gives them that famous charge of Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, where it says, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Then we find out, after giving this charge, not long after, he is taken up into the clouds to go to heaven. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse number 9, And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, there were two angels standing near where Jesus was taken up, and the other onlookers. So remember, he'd been crucified, he was buried, he was resurrected. Spent some time with the disciples, and he gave them the charge of reaching the world, and he told them that the Holy Spirit was going to come and help to get that job done. Then God takes him up into heaven. Standing by are a couple of angels. Standing by are some other people. And in Acts 1:11 it says, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Now, I want to point out a couple of words there in verse number 11. These angels say, this same Jesus. In other words, we have Jesus with us. We watched him. We have the privilege of watching his life. He went to heaven, but he's coming back, and when he comes back, he'll be the same that he was when he was here with us. He's not going to heaven changing and coming back. He is the same. Said when you see him the next time, he's going to be the same old Jesus he has always been. Boy, do I like those words. This same Jesus. This same Jesus. You see what's being pointed out here is that Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 8 is true, where it says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus that will come again will be the same Jesus that walked on this earth. This same Jesus will be holy when he comes again. This same Jesus will be the Son of God when he comes again. This same Jesus will be the all-powerful one, just like he was when he was here before. Hey, this Jesus, when he comes back, he's going to be the same Jesus. He's not going to change. He's the same Jesus. This same Jesus will still be the sin-hating Jesus. This same Jesus will come again. He'll love the sinner and hate the sin. This same Jesus, when he comes again, just like he was here on the earth, sinless, he will come again as the sinless one. This same Jesus will still be a part of God's Trinity. This same Jesus will still be the walking Word of God. They looked up, and the angel said, hey, you men of Galilee, as you look, this same Jesus that just went up is coming again. And he said, when he comes again, he's going to be the same old Jesus that he always has been. This same Jesus will still be the sinless one when he comes again. This same Jesus will still have power over the winds and the waves when he comes again. This same Jesus will still be the all-knowing one when he returns. This same Jesus will still be the everywhere present one when he returns. This same Jesus will still be the King of Kings. This same Jesus will still be the Lord of Lords when he returns. This same Jesus will still be the Rose of Sharon. He was the Rose of Sharon while he was with us. He's going to heaven. He's coming again. And when he returns, he'll still be the Rose of Sharon. This same Jesus will still be the bright and morning star. This same Jesus will still be the Savior of mankind. This same Jesus will still be the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This same Jesus will be able to cause the blind to see. This same Jesus will still be the virgin-born, pure Son of God. Hey, 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 you men of Galilee, you look and you're watching him leave. But let me tell you something. This same Jesus, which you watch go to heaven, he's coming again. Oh, well, when he comes again, what it'll be like? He'll be the same Jesus that you just watched leave. He's coming again. He'll be the same. This same Jesus will still be filled with the Holy Ghost when he comes back. This same Jesus will still be the devil's worst nightmare. I love those words. This same. This same Jesus. Every word's in the Bible for a reason. Every word's there for a reason. Those two little words would be easy for us to bypass. Those two words would be easy for us to lose as we try to figure out the verse. I think God put it in there for a reason. Why? God was saying, my son is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was saying, I am the Lord, and I change not. God was showing us what it is to be stalwart in the faith. God was showing us what it is to be rooted and planted and unmovable. God was showing us what it is not to compromise what you believe and to believe what you're supposed to and stand upon the Word of God. This same Jesus, that's the title of the sermon tonight. This same. Hey, I want to be a this same preacher. This same. Hey, the things that I preached when I was a young man, didn't really care what anybody thought. I want someone to say, hey, what kind of preacher is Jeff Owens? I want to say, well, This same. Did you know what he preached like in the past? He still preaches like that today. I want to be a this same kind of a preacher. Hey, if I want our church to be a this same kind of a church. This same. Someone says, how's it going down there at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Give us a report. Say, same old, same old. This same kind of a church. This same kind of a church. Hey, I don't want us to get too big for our spiritual britches and decide we need to change what's working. You don't need to change a winning lineup. You can't improve on the old time religion. It was good today. Hey, it was good for my father. It's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. This same. The Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is a this same kind of a church. Jeff Owens wants to be a this same kind of a preacher. I want Martinsburg Christian Academy to be a this same kind of a school. That's what I want. It's a Christian school. And it's not just a private school. It's a Christian school. I'll tell you right now, hey, Brother Cowling, Brother Doss, I believe we could probably pick up 2 to 3 dozen students if we'd just drop our standards. If we'd just back off on how you expect people to live. Hey, but we're a this same kind of a church. You don't decide what a Christian school believes based on whether or not people will attend for the standards. You believe what a Christian school is supposed to do based on what a Christian school is supposed to do according to the Bible. That's going to be a this same Christian school. This is going to be a this same Baptist church. Our old PAS conference is a this same conference. We tell people all across the country, don't worry, you won't come to our conference and say, never heard of any of that there that you just said. No, you come to our conference, you'll say, I've heard that somewhere before. Yeah? I'm not trying to impress anybody with anything new. I'm trying to stay true to the old. That's why it's called an old PAS conference. If you want to have a conference and call it a new PAS conference, then do it. But we're an old PAS conference. What is that? It's a this same conference. If you were at our youth conference this year, most people said, I've seen something like this somewhere before. Yes, you have. Why? It's a this same youth conference. We're not trying to entertain the teenagers with a bunch of new stuff. Hey, it's old-time religion. Look, the music is good for mom and dad, and the old-fashioned Baptist church is good for our youth conference, and we're not going to have one music for the teenagers and another for mom and dad. We're all going to be a this same kind of a church. We're going to have this same kind of a youth conference. Hey, ladies are going to come to our East Coast Ladies Conference. They're going to have fun. They're going to laugh. But they're going to get taught the difference between right and wrong. And we're not going to drop our standards to draw a crowd of ladies. They'll have to put up with it. If we get up and tell them this is wrong and it's not feminine, they'll just have to put up with it. They say, well, we'll go somewhere else. Fine and dandy. You come here, it's going to be a this same kind of a conference. That's all there is to it. This same. What's it mean? Not changed. This same, what does it mean? Sticking to the old time religion. This same, what does it mean? We're sticking with the original stuff. You say, that's not good English. I don't care. It's good preaching. We're sticking with the original stuff. That's where we stand. You say, I'm uncomfortable already. Where's this thing going? You think you're uncomfortable now. I'd slip out and go to the little boy's room now. And stay out there. You know, I'll tell you something, and I really mean this. And I'll tell my family this especially. I mean this with my whole heart. I would rather be dead than to stay in the ministry a compromiser. And I mean it. You may say, oh, you're just saying that. No, I mean it. I would rather die now than to think I'm going to sell out, that I'm going to change what I believe. You say, why do you feel that strongly about it? My changing what I believe could destroy lots of people's belief in the old-time religion. If God killed me right now, at least I'd die right with the old-time religion. At least I would die standing right for the old-time way. I would rather die than change. I'd rather die than become liberal and mess up a whole bunch of young preacher boys staring at me, a bunch of young preacher boys who said, I remember what that fellow used to be like. He could shuck the cord. He got up and he preached it, and he preached it straight. He didn't make any apologies. I would hate to think that all sorts of people that I've influenced would suddenly say, ha, Look at him, he's changing. And they begin to question the old time religion. They begin to question their roots. And they begin to question the preachers of 20 and 30 and 40 years ago. I don't want to cause anybody to question the old time religion. I want them to believe it. I want them to believe it without compromise. So I say to God, look, God, if I'm going to compromise, just go ahead and kill me. Now some of you better not say that. Because I don't have time to do that many funerals this week. I'd rather be dead than to compromise that which God has allowed me to be a part of and the influence of it. This saying, you say, Brother Owens, how do you feel? Well, what about salvation? You want to know something? This saying about salvation. This saying about salvation. Salvation is by grace through faith. That's the only way. By grace through faith. I don't believe in what they call lordship salvation. You accept him as your savior, and after you're saved, you ought to be working on allowing him to be your Lord, but he'll never be your Lord entirely till you get to heaven and he purifies you. By grace through faith. I love that name of that track called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. You see, God doesn't want it to be complicated. God wants it to be simple. And so you understand salvation is 100% by Jesus, plus nothing, minus nothing. Jesus does all the saving. You say, what do I do? You do all the letting. You let him save you. He does all the saving. Salvation is at 99% Jesus and 1% you. It is you trusting him. Period. Works salvation is a hell-produced doctrine that sends people to that eternal destiny called hell. Works salvation is damnable heresy. And somebody teaching you that you can lose your salvation is the same way. This same salvation by grace through faith, this same salvation that says you can know you're saved. I believe this same. You say, you know, preacher, if you back off on some of those things, our church would get bigger. Then our church will have to stay smaller. This same salvation. This same Bible. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe the King James Bible is given to us in the English language. And it is inspired, preserved, and it is the Bible that God has given us. I'm not looking for the Queen James. I've got the King James. It is His Word. It's not our Word. Man cannot improve upon what God has done. They have written perversion after perversion. They are writing even new, more perversions. They read, and there's over a couple hundred different perversions. I remember this story. Some of you will remember it. I don't know how many times I heard Dr. Hiles tell this story. A group of men got together and decided to write what they were going to call the New King James. Dr. Rice was alive at that time. They had asked Dr. Hiles to work on the committee, and he said, I won't get involved in that. I'm not going to mess around with what God's given us. Dr. Rice was asked to get on the committee. Dr. Rice went on the committee. Dr. Hiles had told him, said, Dr. Rice, don't get on that committee. You're not going to want to be a part of it. I guess Dr. Rice went in, sat down, very first meeting, they started questioning the authority of the Word of God. They had a bunch of Pharisaical men sitting around thinking, you know, we can improve on this book. We can write a better one. Dr. Rice said, he stood up, walked out and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to have no part of this. We don't need to rewrite it. We need to reread it. This same salvation, this same Word of God, and I'm going to apologize about it. You say, well, I'm mad at you. You go ahead and get mad. I've climbed over bigger men than you to get to the real fight. You're not going to scare me out of it. I stood for this book. My forefathers stood for that very same book. I heard Roloff. I heard Hiles. I heard them all. I heard them preach it. I heard Rice even stand for it. I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to go anywhere where I have to apologize for my Bible. And so I don't believe it's a King James. And you find you one and you fight for it like I'm fighting for this one. But you got to have something to fight for. This same. You say, well, what about the local New Testament church? I'm glad you asked. This same. I'm a Baptist. If you didn't notice, this is a Shenandoah Bible Baptist church. We've not apologized. Well, we didn't put blinders on the name out there. I'm a Baptist. You know, the Bible doesn't teach anything about an invisible church or a universal church. It talks about the local New Testament church. When you get saved, you're brought into Christ. Hey, and then you're supposed to go join you in an independent fundamental Baptist church. I'm Baptist by conviction, not by preference. I'm Baptist because I believe that's what the Bible teaches. This is not a Southern Baptist church, folks. It's a fundamental Baptist church. An independent fundamental Baptist church. No other Baptist churches tell us what to do. We have a manual that we follow. You say, you do? Yeah. It's 66 books long. It's called the King James Bible. This is not a Methodist church. It's a Baptist church. This is not a Wesleyan church. It's a Baptist church. This is not a Lutheran church. It's a Baptist church. It's not a community church. It's a Baptist church. It's not a Church of Christ. It's a Baptist church. This is not a Pentecostal church. It's a Baptist church. You say, well, preacher, if I were you, I would stand up there and preach that. Well, you're not me, and you're not preaching right now. You hear me say it every Sunday morning. You hear me say, if you've been saved and you've been baptized and you would like to join a church like this, we welcome you to come. But don't come on false pretenses. I'm not trying to trick anybody into my congregation. I don't try to trick a whole bunch of people into my congregation. They're going to cause me trouble somewhere along the way. I'm telling you who we are, what we are, and this is the same thing we believed all these years that I've been here. The same, the same, the same, the same. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. Baptist was not his last name. It was his God-given label. And I've got a God-given label. I'm a Baptist. Our college is called Old Paths Baptist College. We associate with independent fundamental Baptist organizations. This same. This same. This same Jesus. You say, what about soul winning? This same. This same. This church believes that soul winning is the privilege and the duty of every Christian. Not just the church staff. We don't just win souls at church, but we win them out on the field. We win them in our neighborhoods. We win them in our workplace. And I need to serve notice to some of you. A whole bunch of you. We ask you to be Sunday school teachers or nursery workers or bus workers. We ask you that you would get involved in some ministry in this church. And you were very kindly and politely asked. Now, if you do that, will you promise us you'll go out and tell others about Jesus Christ and you'll go out and go soul winning? Now, I don't make you fill out an attendance report, but I'm going to tell you, God is watching you. God is watching you as you gave your word that you would do that. And some of you, it's been a year since you've done anything about your soul winning, and you're going to get mad at me. Well, I'll just quit. That shouldn't be the answer. The answer should be that you get back to keeping your word. Get back to soul winning. Get back to telling your neighbors. Get back to telling the people that you work with. This, say, soul winning. You know, we're to confront people about their need of salvation. I don't believe in lifestyle evangelism. Now, I think you ought to live right. I think your lifestyle ought to be evangelistic. But, you know, you say, well, what do you mean by lifestyle evangelism? There are some people who believe that this is not the era of confrontational evangelism. There are some people that believe that you shouldn't confront people about their salvation. You should live right in front of them and let them come and inquire. Brother Nash, how long has it been since anybody inquired? You were just down at Walmart, at the library, at Joe's Bar and Grill, those places where you hang out. How long has it been since anybody inquired?
Never.
Never? Brother Renison, how long has it been since anybody watched you live and said, you know what? He has something that I want. I think I'll go ask him what it is. How long has it been?
Never.
Brother Bush? How long's it been?
Never.
Huh. Brother Bajan, I'd ask you, but you don't live well enough for them to inquire. I'm 50 years of age. I was saved when I was 16. I've tried to live right. I've tried to do right. I've tried to live holy. I've tried to live separate. I've tried to be happy. I've tried to have joy. I've tried to be good brothers. I have never had anybody walk up to me and say, boy, you are so different. You must have Jesus. Can I have him too? I want to receive him. Could you tell me about him? I've never had anybody do that. And the people that believe in lifestyle evangelism do not live the kind of lives that we live. theirs are worse when it comes to separation. It's a cheap cop-out because they don't want to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. What about this soul winning? The same. The same. The same. Soul winning still works. Soul winning still works. Hey, you listen to me. That old bus ministry that we run here, we're going to keep on running it. Why? It's a soul winning ministry. The same. The same. We're going to keep on going down to the rescue mission and try to bail those old drunkards out of their drunkenness and get them born again. The same. We're going to keep on having teenage soul winning, and we're going to keep on having adult soul winning, and we're going to keep on going out and telling others about Christ. We're going to keep on sending missionaries out. Hey, not to go out and just raise support, but to go out and win souls. The same, the same, the same, the same. It works. It works. Across the nation, they're getting cowardly. They're teaching people what you do instead of going soul winning, go survey taking. Don't tell anybody that you're from a Baptist church. Just go take a survey and then let them know that you are a survey representative. Now, my friend, I am a soul winner from a local New Testament Baptist church. The name of it is the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. You say, but somebody may look down on me for it. Well, they look down on everybody else through history for it. When the gospel was being spread abroad in the New Testament church in Jerusalem, there was all sorts of persecution. They were not out taking surveys. They didn't stone Stephen for a survey. They stoned him because he stood up and said, there is a heaven and a hell, and you're going to go to one of the two. Accept Jesus, go to heaven, don't, and you will go to hell. And they weren't trying to be rude. They were trying to be honest. I believe the survey technique is more the concern of the cowardice of the soul winner than it is a concern for the love of the sinner. It's cheap cop-out. You say, what about altar calls? This same? This same? We don't have inquiry rooms. That's where people come down the altar and we say, follow me. We'll go where no one can see us. No, I don't do it to embarrass you. I do it because you ought to be humble and shouldn't bother you to get down in your knees before God. When somebody comes down the aisle, we're not going to usher them off. And let me tell you this, soul winners, as long as you're capable or the person coming down the aisle is capable, don't even go back and sit in the pew. Get on your knees. Now you say, it's my health, it's their health. We can't kneel. Okay, I understand that. But other than that, let's just go ahead and humbly bow at the altar. At the altar. We have altar calls in all three of our services. I just feel like I want to do that. I feel like I want to have an altar call Sunday morning. I feel like I want to have an altar call Sunday night. I feel like we don't hurt ourselves by having an altar call on Wednesday night. Now, if we didn't have one, I guess nowhere in the Bible does God make me have an altar call every service. Thus far, we have them. Matter of fact, we had one. I preached teacher orientation on Friday. Had all those dignified educators. I preached to them and said, we're going to have an altar call. Just about everybody in the room went to their knees at an altar call. You say, with those educators, you're talking about the people with all the degrees? Yes, yes, people with degrees need to have altar calls. We have a great school chapel. So you know, if you send your children to Martinsburg Christian Academy, there will be a chapel and there will be an altar call. That will be happening at the public school, by the way. Well, while I'm here, I ought to say this. Those of you that do put your kids in a public school, I love you and I'm your friend and I'll help you all I can. I'll love your children. You will not be considered a second-class citizen to me, but you better be careful what you let your kids start doing now that you're letting them go to the public school. Some of them that have some standards and convictions to play ball and everything else in the public school, they're going to have to drop their guard. You're going to have to compromise some of your convictions. But let me say, in our grade school, I had the privilege of preaching grade school chapel. I always give an altar call. you say to those second and third and fourth graders, yes, second, third, and fourth graders need altar calls too. And Martinsburg Christian Academy High School, we have chapel and we have altar call. And Brother Brown, Brother Ellswick, as you help lead young fundamentalists, have altar calls. Hey, King's kids, have altar calls. Don't be afraid to have an altar call. One of these days you need to get up there and choir practice and preach the fire out of these people and tell them what a privilege it is to sing in the choir and to show up and practice and have a good attitude of practice. Shut that thing down. Have an altar call and get some choir members right with God. So I don't think you ought to do that. It's not your choice. Altar calls, the same. The same. Anytime there's preaching around here, don't fear giving an altar call. Bus workers meeting, don't be afraid to have an altar call. Don't be afraid of it. Folks, preaching is for response, not applause. If somebody's preaching for anything other than response, we're doing it for the wrong reason. The altar is often the place where the Holy Spirit seals the deal with His people. This same. So what about the preaching, Brother Owens? This same. Preaching is God's way. It's just the way that God chose. Jesus was a preacher. We're going to preach a hell that's hot. It's in the Bible. There are those that would like to convince us that hell's an imaginary place. And that's not true. Hell's a real place. People really, they'll burn there for all eternity. We're going to preach it. We're not going to replace the preaching with drama. We're not going to replace the preaching with cantatas. As you know, we may have some fun. We'll have a cantata. We'll have a Christmas cantata. But it won't replace the preaching. Not at all. Hey, the preaching, we're not going to let this place turn into a self-help lecturing place. It's going to be preaching. Preaching the Word of God is more important than choir specials. Matter of fact, choir specials are to prepare the heart for the preaching. You can tell when churches are getting off base because they start putting music before the preaching. Everybody comes, hey, look, if it ever gets to the point here where everybody comes for our music program and not the preaching, there's two problems. Number one, the music program must be doing something it shouldn't, or number two, the preacher must not be doing what he should. Preaching is to convict us of our sin, not to soothe our conscience. We will preach when it's popular and when it's unpopular. Our preaching may be loud or it may be soft, but it'll still be preaching. Our preaching may be hard or it may be gentle, but it'll still be preaching. Our preaching may be long or it may be long. Listen. You say, Brother Owen, sometimes I come and I feel terrible while you're preaching. Good sign. Good sign of two things. It's a good sign I'm telling you about sin. Number two, your heart is tender towards sin. It's supposed to be that way. Well, I'm going to go to that other church because they just make me feel good. Feeling good won't keep you spiritually healthy. Preaching is supposed to be God-pleasing, not people-pleasing. If you've never stood where I stand, I cannot tell you the pressure that is upon a man to want to please the people. You can have something that you wrote down under the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the privacy of your own office to preach in a service, and then somebody shows up that you didn't expect to show up, and you know it's going to hit them right between their God-given eyeballs. And you're thinking, you got to change that so you don't hurt them. But wait a minute, you didn't even expect them. God's the one that put it in the sermon, not you. And I can't tell you how hard it is to take the bull by the horn, stand up here and say it anyway, knowing somebody's going to stab you in the back. They'll be on the internet talking about you before the end of the night. They'll take their two-faced backstabbing ways and come after you because you told the truth. He didn't even say it to hurt them. Hey, preaching is to bring conviction. You say, well, Brother Owens, what about the Holy Spirit? This same Holy Spirit, He was given to us. In the book of Acts, the Bible teaches He was given us to help win souls. The Bible tells us He was given to us to direct us through the Word of God. And I'll remind you, never does the Holy Spirit lead you contrary to the Word of God. So you all understand, the Holy Spirit and God are giving no new words of knowledge. That which is perfect has come. He clarifies the old knowledge. When you hear all these quacks on television saying, I got a word of knowledge. No, you had too many anchovies on your pizza, bud. You don't need a new word of knowledge. You cannot even obey in the old word of knowledge. He does not lead us to speak in some wild, unknown tongue. We don't get slain in the Spirit. We stay sane because of the Spirit. This same Spirit always agrees with God's Word. This same Spirit still convinces men of their sin. You know, this. So you understand, this same Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's been passed down through the generations is the same God who said, I am the Lord, I change not. That's part of the Trinity. That's part of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit still works the same way now that He always has worked. This is not the same Holy Spirit, as they call it, of our modern-day charismatic kooks like Benny Hinn. This is the Holy Spirit of the Charles Haddon Spurgeons, where great revival came and people repented of their sins and liquor stores shut down and prostitutes got right with God and drunks got sobered up. It's not an emotional thing. It's a principle thing, the movement of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, what about gospel music? Well, I'm glad you got me there. This same music. We believe in old-time religion music. We don't copy our music from TV religion. Some of you are going to get very dissatisfied with the music here because we don't copy it off of the PTL club. Nor are we going to. And let me tell you something, Brother Nash, you be careful. Sometimes it gets very hard to find enough music to keep it fresh and to keep something new before the people. And if you're not careful, you'll reach into that arena where they want to have all their worship services. We don't have worship service music here. We have revival and church service music here. I'm for worshiping, but it's more something you do in private at home by yourself than you do in a group. This is an old-time religion church, and we'll use old-fashioned religion-type music. You say, I don't understand the difference. Oh, yes, you do. You've seen it, and you have experienced it. You say, well, we're just a little behind times. Yeah, baby, and we're going to stay there. This same music. This same. You won't come in, as long as I'm in my right mind, you will not walk into this church someday and find a drum set on the platform. You won't find an electric guitar on the platform. You won't see it. There won't come a day when you'll watch the staff walk out with their turtlenecks on. We'll dress in our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes just like everybody else. We're going to flip-flop in here with our t-shirts and our blue jeans on. This isn't a modern, compromising church. You say, I don't like this. This is the same way we've been all along. This same. We're not changing. Everybody else is, but we're not. This same music. There'll be no Christian rock and roll here. We're not going to have a dance team to come and demonstrate, as they call it, the gospel. The only dancing going on around here is when little boys and girls disobey mom and dad and they spend the meeting with dad. There'll be some dancing going on right there. This saying, you won't see us leaning toward the contemporary. Won't be any Christian rap here. I don't believe there's such thing as Christian rap. I won't condone Christian rock and roll here. Our youth department's going to be taught that it's wrong. Music by Skillet. Reliant K and Red and Hillsong United, Casting Crowns and Striper, I believe it's wrong. Don't compromise what God calls the old-time religion. It's time for humor. You insert it so you relax everybody so you can go after it again in a moment. An Irishman, a Mexican, and a blonde guy were doing construction work off a scaffolding on the 20th floor of a building. They were eating lunch, and the Irishman said, corned beef and cabbage. If I get corned beef and cabbage one more time for lunch, I'm going to jump off this building. The Mexican opened up his lunchbox as well and exclaimed, burritos again. If I get burritos one more time, I'm going to jump off too. The blonde opened his lunch and said, bologna again. If I get a bologna sandwich one more time, I'm jumping off this building as well. The next day, the Irishman opened up his lunchbox and saw corned beef and cabbage, and he jumped to his death. The Mexican opened up his lunchbox and saw a burrito. He jumped to his death. The blonde guy opened up his lunch. He saw the bologna, and he jumped to his death as well. At the funeral, the Irishman's wife was weeping. She said, "Oh, if I'd only known how really tired he was of corned beef and cabbage, I would have never given it to him again. Oh, he's dead because of it." The Mexican's wife also wept and said, "I could have given him tacos or enchiladas. I didn't realize he hated burritos. Now he's dead." Everyone turned and stared at the blonde man's wife, and she said, "Hey, don't look at me. He makes and packs his own lunch." The same. The same. You say, "Brother Owens, what about ecclesiastical separation?" And what you say, what does that mean? That means our separation from so-called religious organizations that don't believe right. We'll not yoke up with or support those that reject the old-time religion. Our sports teams who have another game to play won't yoke up with people that don't believe the Word of God. We won't go to their conferences. We won't support them financially. Man left our church some years ago. I've been his friend. He left because of preaching like this. I met with him since. And you know what he said to me? He said, "You know, Brother Owens," he said, "I left." And he said, "I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who my favorite preacher is. It's John Hagee." Some of you won't like this, but John Hagee does not preach the Bible, "Thus saith the Lord." And I thought, good gravy. We will not associate with organizations who are letting their music or their services go contemporary. It's time for some of you to turn Joel Osteen off. And Max Licato, and Rick Warren, and Joyce Myers, and T.D. Jakes. They don't believe the Bible the way the Bible teaches. You say, "I don't like that." I realize you don't like that. I told you to stay home. You walk out of here mad at me tonight, you're the problem, not me. I gave you a free pass to stay home and watch Walt Disney. Is that still on Sunday nights? That shows you how old I am. How many of you grew up and knew that Walt Disney used to be on Sunday night? Thank you. Thank you. You say, "Brother Owens, what about baptism?" This same. This same baptism. It is only a step of obedience after salvation. That water right there never has or never will save anybody. It is a command by God, just so you know. If you have been saved and you have not been baptized, you are disobedient to God. And it is the very first step of obedience. You can't join a New Testament church if you don't get baptized. You get baptized into the local New Testament church. You're baptized in the body of that church. It's not by sprinkling. It's by immersion. This saying. Say, what about marriage and morality? I believe in purity. This saying. This saying. God deserves our purity. One man for one woman for life. That's how God planned it. Marriage, according to the Bible, is between a man and a woman. Let me make that very clear. I will not apologize for that. Man, according to the Bible, is between a man and a woman. Hey, I got to tell some of you, you're going to have to be careful. You're not patient enough to let God bring you a mate, so you go out in the world and you start dragging a bunch of stray dogs around with you. So, "Well, I'll get them fixed up." They're going to get you fixed up. I've watched many a person go out and get somebody that's not right with God just so they don't have to be lonely, and they end up double lonely. Teens, you stay pure. You come to this wedding altar pure and virgin. You married couples, you stay pure. If you're not married to her, keep your hands off of her. And may I add this, keep your eyes off of her. Brother English is sitting here. I don't know what day, but I think one day this week, he and Mrs. English celebrate 64 years of holy matrimony. Young people, shut off your garbage on MTV. Get a picture of Brother and Mrs. English and watch it for a little while. That'll do you good. That'll help you with your morality. Let me make it very clear. I don't care who you are and where you sit in this auditorium. If you're sleeping with anybody you're not married to, it is sin, and God will judge. Say, what about tithing? This saying. It's not preached much today because people don't want to hear it. We're not supposed to preach what people want to hear. We're supposed to preach what's printed in the Bible. If you don't tithe, you're a thief. And you can't be trusted. That's what the Bible says. You're not to use your tithe to pay your Christian school bill. You're not to use your tithe to pay for your home school materials. You're not to use your tithe to pay your faith promise. You're not to tithe. Hey, we have some adult Sunday school classes. Brother Calling has an adult class. We tell them that they could take a little offering in their class to help support their class, but you're not to tithe to that class. Your tithe is to go into the general fund. I believe in tithing to the local New Testament church. I'll tell you something. If you don't believe it, you better keep your mouth shut around my church because you're against what the Bible teaches. I know where I came from. When I was taught by Dr. Hiles, I was taught that the tithe is to the local New Testament church. And if you don't like it, you come see me, but you go around and you corrupt my people about that, I'm going to be awful upset with you. What about lifting the fallen? This saying. This church is in the business of salvaging sinners. You Pharisees who won't give a sinner a second chance, you're not like God, nor are you right with God. Those of you who through your gossip drive the fallen away, you're evil. You're evil. Did you hear that? The word is evil. You're destructive. Look, all we have here at this church are sinners. I'm going to preach righteousness, and I'm going to preach do right, I'm going to preach it. But you better stop and realize something. The minute somebody doesn't do right, we're going to try to love them and salvage them. Some of you that are self-righteous, and you take your, it's almost as if, you know, the only people you really would attack is somebody that hasn't done what you've done, or that is not doing what you're doing. But may I throw this in here right now. Right now. Because if you're not careful, your pharisaical attitude and treatment of them, you may be the next one. Because if it were not for the mercy of God and the grace of God, you'd be right where they're at right now. What about the fallen? We're going to lift the fallen. You say, what about separation? You say, haven't we already been there? Oh, no. This same separation. We are in this world, but we're not going to be like this world. We need to get away from the world's entertainments. We're not like the world. Listen to me. Parents, I'm going to beg of you. I'm going to beg of you that you get your children's cell phones under control. The texting, the logging on to the internet. I'm telling you, folks, you're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. You don't know what your kids are up to. You better listen to the prophet of God tonight. You're going to regret it. You're going to look and you're going to say, I should have listened to him. We're not like this world. And young people, there are some things that the world has that you may not have. Why? It's better for you. It's safer for you. This new series on television called Twilight. Just so you all understand, it is demonic, it is out of hell, it is a promotion of vampires, it is a portion of witchcraft, it is wrong. It is wrong with their t-shirts, it's wrong with their lunch boxes and their DVDs, it's wrong with the whole garbage truck full of trash. Separation, this same. You men, keep your hair cut like a man. We'll be able to look at you and tell you're a man. You ladies, let your hair grow long enough that we can tell you're a woman. I'll not look at you from the back and try to figure out if you're a man or not. You say, well, there's other parts of me that from the back you'd know. I've seen you. We can't tell. Let your hair grow like a woman. I'm not telling you it has to be all the way down to your toenails, but it ought to be long enough that we can tell the difference. It's what the Bible teaches. You ladies, your clothes. Some of you, you're wearing them too tight. Loosen them up. We don't want to see that figure. They're too sheer. We shouldn't be able to see through them. Your tops, when they get too low, it's a sin. You better start paying attention to the fact that when you bend over, you're causing some man to lust. You wear your skirt so high. Cover that thigh. It's what the Bible teaches. This same. What about the difference in the sexes? I think we're supposed to be different. Men ought to dress like men and ladies ought to dress like ladies. If you're a man running around in a dress, it's time for you to get converted. I really think that we ought to let the women wear the earrings. I worry about some of you men. It won't be long. You'll be in nylons. I don't doubt it. I remember when men wouldn't wear earrings, and they wear them everywhere now. I remember when men wouldn't paint their fingernails. They do it now. They actually have catalogs for men's dresses now. I'm figuring pantyhose are next. I use the right word, too. Let me tell you something. There ought to be a difference in men and women. We live in a unisex society. Let's make all things equal, even the gods. You can have a god. Just pick the god of your choice. The Bible teaches there is one God. And one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This same. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.